Morning, everybody. Thanks for being here in the house today. This is not rated R today, but it's a little sensitive. So if you have kids, it's not. Ain't nobody going to cuss or nothing, but it's a little sensitive. So if you have small kids that you haven't had conversations with. We do our best to have a great kids ministry, so just a little bit sensitive. So if you're on the border, then you might want to go check your kids in or sit outside and watch it, and so you can know when to cover their ears. So I just want to be respectful. It's not R, but it's like PG-14. You know what I mean? It's like... You got to be kind of growing a little bit. All right, that's it. That's all I got to say. Let's pray, and then let's jump into the word today. I'm really excited about this one. Father, will you prepare every heart, align our hearts with yours? As always, help us to abide in your word, and help us to please God in the name of Jesus. Expose the enemy and his traps. Expose him today. In your son's name we pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. If you don't have one of these, you're going to need one today. Everybody will. And so you need to get one. If you don't have one of those, just put your hands up. And you're going to need one of those today as we jump into our talk on today. I want to start the sermon out by apologizing. I want to apologize on behalf of all pastors because we have not taught the whole counsel of God when it comes to the topic of being single. So to all the single people in the house, oh, by the way, let me help you out because some of you don't know who you are. If you're a single mom, you're single. If you're a single who's been married and your husband or wife passed and you're a widow, you're single. If you're a young adult and you're 20, 18, 19, 20, 21, that kind of age, you are single. If you got 7 kids and you don't have a wife or husband, you still are single. All right? We clear now? Now, everybody, if you don't have a ring on, or if the ring you have on, you put it there yourself, you're single. Are we good, everybody? We good? We clear that up? All right, good. All right. Because some of y'all in denial, and I need to clarify it for y'all, okay? All right, we just clear that up. Let's go now, see if we can get to God's word. So as I was saying, I need to apologize on behalf of the church because the church has done a poor job of teaching singles, which therefore means that you've got your insight from the world and not from the Bible. And I want to apologize for that, and I'm gonna take my time to clarify what God's word has to say about this topic on today. Secondly, I want to remind you, this is pretty simple for me. Here's how I select my sermon series. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail, Matthew 16, against this thing called the church, right? The gates of hell won't prevail about it. First of all, the gates, which means the enemy is in the defensive, not the offensive position. But secondly, it won't prevail. So here's how I select sermon series. I look for areas where it seems like the gates of Hades are prevailing, which means we're believing a lie. So my job is to tee up the lie so we can provide the truth of God's word to it so that you can live in the freedom God has called you to live in. Every single series, that's what I ask, what's the lie that we believe? And so on today, I'm going to tee up a lot because in the area of being single and enjoying the season you're in, the enemy has spun us a lie, and we have believed it, which is why you have so many frustrated singles in the church of God. So I'm teeing that up today. Number second thought, parents, you need to apologize for what you have caused in your kids. So if you're here and you're married, do not. Ooh, okay, I'm good. No, you're not, because you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem because you do not have a theological category for a single person that is living to the fullest for the glory of God. Most married people think that singleness is a problem to be solved. I know. I got my own cheerleaders today. I don't need no encouragement from you because the world has so influenced you, you don't even know when to say amen. So I got my own amen corner today. It's in my head. Me and the Spirit of the living God. I don't need none of y'all today. Me and the Spirit of the living God. Talking about preach, Pastor Conway. Preach. Tell her! So the problem is that we perceive marriage as a problem. I mean, singleness as a problem. And it's one that we ought to solve. So let me just tee up for you. The title of my talk today, it's called Stop Swiping and Value the Gift. Stop swiping. Value the gift. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stop swiping. Value the gift. Look at the other one. Neighbor, stop swiping. Value the gift. Look at yourself and say, self, stop swiping. Value the gift. You don't believe it's a problem, so let me show you why it is a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, here are the latest stats up until last year, 2018. Here we go. Many of you go on Bumble, Tinder, Match.com, Plenty of Fish, OkCupid, Christian Mingle, Black People Meet, eHarmony, MeetAblackMillionaire.com, MeetAsianIllionaire.com, MeetFineAndSingle.com. I don't even want to repeat them again because you're going to say, oh, I didn't have that one. Let me go find that one. it gets worse. It gets worse. Listen. It gets worse. Listen now. This is just for Bumble. Just for Bumble, okay? The average number of Bumble swipes per hour, Bumble alone. So if you got 10 of them, this is just for Bumble. 2 hours, 2 million per hour. We don't have a problem? You think the enemy don't have y'all right where he want you to be? 2 million per hour. It gets worse than that. The total amount of messages so far, 3 billion. The amount of time used daily on Bumble alone, 100 minutes per day. That's almost 2 hours. When you work, you're ripping off your employer. When you're working, if all you're doing is swipe. What's wrong with y'all? That means if you on all the others, so let's say you got 10 sites. What the heck do you do all day? Here's another one. On all of these sites, listen. Christians all up in here too. 66% of people who go on their first date with somebody they met online sleep with them. If that's you, wave your hand. We got some desperate people up in here. Just desperate. Tell the truth in church. All to Jesus. Anyways, the revenue that just Bumble makes per year, 200 million. 40 million users. In light of that 40 million users, the number of weddings or engagements, not weddings, number or engagement, when's your engagement? 40 million users, 5,000. You think we don't have a problem? You think this is not a big deal that the enemy says, oh yeah, I'm winning in this area. The enemy says, I'm going to use God's most important weapon in his arsenal. Somebody who should be fully devoted to me, and I'm going to distract them all day long so that they're not focused on me, but they're worshiping their pursuit of finding somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to preach. I'm here now while I preach, Pastor, preach. It's in my mind. It's in my mind. All right. So let me break it down a little further for you, because some of you still don't believe me. So let me help you out. Every one of you today, if you're here and you're unmarried, you are seated in one of three chairs. And I'm going to make it plain for you so you own your chair. One of three chairs, all of you. If you're here and you're single, all of you are teeing up. You see, the problem is, most pastors never talk about this. And so you're left to go fend for yourself. But we're going to clarify what the word says today. So here's what it looks like. So one of three things, this is where you live in. First of all is, those of you who are sitting in the chair called, say this word with me. You consumed with finding a mate. You consumed with it. Oh, I'm going to find somebody. Oh, I'm going to find. After all, then you lie on the Bible. God helps those who helps themselves. Oh, I'm going to find somebody. Oh, yeah. Me and God. I got to work like it all depends on me and pray like it all depends on God. So I'm going to help God out. And so you're consumed. A lot of your time is spent, I need, I got to get out of this purgatory called singlehood, and I got to get into marriage. And it consumes you. It consumes you so much. All you think about is, I need to be married. You don't even know what God's word said about it. You just are thinking about it day in, day out, all day long. Me. Did somebody hit me up today? Did somebody look at my file today? Did somebody check me out today? Let me go check somebody else. Did nobody check me out? Let me go check somebody else out. If you're in this category, you're consumed. If you're a man and you're in this category, you just want to see how many people you can hit. That was the PG-14. You sitting in church trying to find out, unbundle in church. I'm going to hit that one. Don't laugh. This is how the enemy has allowed you to live two lives. You're consumed with it. Ladies, some of you, you're like a lock. And any key can open your lock. Any key. You got a red key. Hold on. A yellow key. I'm saying, ooh, yeah, yellow. Ooh, lock get open. Every key there is can open your lock. What kind of woman are you that everybody can just roll up to you and open your lock? 66%. You're so desperate, you're just dying for somebody to call you so you can just snuggle one night. Why is it that God has created you so special and you have lowered yourself to the gutter so that any key, ooh, I like the golden brown key. Give me the golden brown key. And then when that hurts you enough, I don't like golden brown no more. I need chocolate, black chocolate. Give me the chocolate one. The chocolate, yes, yes. And all they have to do is message you and you're ready to go. Really? That's how you have lowered God's creation to? Then some of you think you're a little more sophisticated. Somebody the other day called me and told me, hey, Pastor, I ain't met no one community church men at a church, but they all on Bumble. All of them on Bumble. I met more men that got a one on Bumble than anywhere else. Listen. I'm going to define for you, not this week, but maybe on Friday night for the young adults and singles, but I'm going to define for you how to go about doing it. Here's my thesis today. You're consumed and you don't even know it. you're not this consumed about God. You're not this consumed about your word. You're not this consumed about community. You're not this consumed about your relationship with Jesus. You're not this consumed about abiding with God. And you think you have not erected a God called finding a mate. And nobody wants to say anything. Everybody said, well, you got to do what you got to do. And all you do is just walk around trying to find. And then some of you say, you know what? I'm going to leave this alone. Ain't nobody going to do this. I'm just going to take matters into my own hand. Think about it however you want. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. You are so desperate that you're not going to put yourself out there. You just still thinking about it so much, you're going to take matters in your own hand. That's the PG-14 version. If it was grown folk only, I would go a little further. But you got some kids in here. Hey, beautiful in pink. Good to see you, darling. We're trying to protect you, darling. We're trying to protect you. Pull that skirt down. That's right. That's right. Number two, second chair. So this is people who are consumed. All they do is think about, I got to find one. These are the guys you think about, I got to get released. I don't want to commit to nobody. Why should I commit? Because all I got to do is get another one, and she'll come over, and I will just hit that one. Church, I'm not talking about pagans. I'm talking about church people. You're everything to me. Yeah, not Jesus. Number two. Confused or curious. That's the second chair you're sitting in. Now, let me show you how you deceive yourself in this one. In this one, you're not comparing yourself to who God wants you to be. You're saying you ain't trash like over here. So the way you feel better about yourself is you compare yourself and you say, I didn't sleep with him or I didn't sleep with her on the first date. At least it took us four times. He got to take me out. He got to spend a little money before I give up the goods. You don't even want to laugh, do you? Because it's too painful. We should have an altar call right now. If you're sitting in any of these two chairs, come one, come all. Is there one? This chair right here? These are the Christians who deceive themselves into thinking they're not that bad. They're not that bad because God knows my heart. He know I love him, but he understands that I struggle. Well, then go. Get some help with the struggle. Don't sit in the struggle. Now, in this, I promise, this is grace and mercy kind of a church. But don't abuse and cheapen God's mercy and grace. Don't do it. Why are we still living over here? Why are we still living in the, well, God, I know your word, but it's just too hard. So here's what you do. You vacillate between these two. So on Sunday, right after church, you feel real godly. So you're over here. On Monday, you say, you know what, I'm busy, I'm good. Monday night, you made it. And about Tuesday, you're not at Bible study yet. So about Tuesday, you'll be like, man, look. Lord, you know my heart, Lord. You know my heart. I love you, Lord. I really love you, Lord. But Lord, you know, every now and again, a brother just need a, you know, I mean, you gave me the desire, Lord, you gave it to me, so I mean, you know, at least I'm not on the other side, you gave it to me. And you play this game every single week. And you don't want to go admit and have somebody help you live for God. If you're a brother in the house, that's why you need to go get married. Quit fearing commitment and go marry somebody. Thank you, person in my ears. Preach, Pastor, preach. why you need to be disrupting and hurting so many of God's children to satisfy your lusts. Because you fear commitment. Because you fear settling down. Because you fear leading. Because you fear that she's going to ask you to lead spiritually. And you don't know how to do it. Then go get help. So you know, go find a man who will disciple you and show you how to do it. Ladies, why have you cheapened yourself to a piece of meat that anybody can just roll up and get in because you're so desperate? Come on now. And then you who think you're not that bad, but you're not ready to be convinced because you every anytime somebody say, yeah, you ought to be pure till you get married, you'd be like, who wants to do that? Yet still is what God requires. Yet still that's his standard. But the culture has so convinced you that it's not possible that you have just given way to the rest of the world. Now couples, don't back up because I'm going to tee you up too. Because I'm going to talk about Jada Pinkett Smith's Red Table that all of y'all listen to. And I'm going to tee it up and I'm going to get a red table up here and I'm going to talk about Red Table Jesus Edition. Because I see y'all liking, ooh, this so good. Okay. We're going to examine it and see whether that comes from the Bible or the flesh. So don't get too custom. You be like, ooh, he talking to the singles. Ooh, we free. Okay. Just keep coming. We're going to tee you up too. Go to your notes. And let me show you the danger of sitting in these two chairs. Right-hand side of your notes, center page, right-hand side. The challenge with seats 1 and 2. Everybody with me? I can't hear you. Everybody with me? Yes. Number one is desperation can lead to bad decision making. The more desperate you are, the more it will lead to bad decision making. Because you're so desperate, you will lower your standard so anybody can fit because you just want to have a child. And some of you, your motives are so bad because you really don't want a man. You just want a child, and then you can divorce the man if he don't do what he wants so that you can just be like, okay, I have an offspring. And you think you're playing God? You're so devoted to it that you're going to lower your standard, make a bad decision, and listen, this bad decision is going to affect you and your family for 100 years in the future. And you think you can just get out of a divorce and it don't affect anybody. Are you kidding me? Don't be that short-sighted. Don't be that short-sighted that the kids will get over it. We'll just spare the time together. You think you're not putting a deep wound in their hearts? Come on now. So be careful because it's teeing you up to make a bad decision. Number two, you and I, do not have a theological category for singleness. Let me explain. This is so huge. The single life should be the walking billboard of God's supremacy and God's sufficiency. Listen, you should be when a non-Christian look at you, they should see that your God is sufficient for you. They should see that your God is supreme, and you should walk around with your head kicked back knowing that you've got a God that is enough. You just were singing that Jesus is enough. Is he really? You're my everything? Is he really? Is he really your everything? Then why are you so desperate? And why are you idolizing? And why have you made finding a mate a God? Because that's what we've done. We've made it a God. And the enemy is leading ground. He's winning in this area. And Christians, the most potent weapon in God's arsenal, are all consumed, confused, and curious, and can't get enough of the God called marriage. That's where we live. Number three, you will continue the cycle, and your kids will not see the value of singleness. That's the danger of those two seats. You'll continue the cycle, and your kids will say, hey, man, just do the best you can while you're single, and then just know you got to find somebody to get out of this hole that you find yourself in. Church people, we do this to people oftentimes. The reason we do, church people, is because couples tell singles all the time what's wrong with you. Here's why this is important. It reflects your own immaturity because you don't see that the real prize is the ultimate marriage. You're looking at the penultimate marriage and valuing it more than you're valuing the ultimate marriage. Let me show you what I mean. It's okay. Let me show you what I mean. You're looking at me like, what you talking about? What the heck are you talking about, Pastor? Here it is. So you have this beautiful little picture here of marriage. Ooh, 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 this is what I want. Ooh, 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 this is what I want. Okay. Ultimately, you're going to be married to Jesus when you see him face to face. That's the ultimate wedding party. You don't like that one. You don't even daydream about that one. You're not even excited about that one, which is what a redeemed follower of Jesus Christ should be excited about. If you really understood the cross and what he did on the cross, and you're a gospel-centered believer, you really should be excited about seeing God face to face. Do you think Christians are? Because you have this one right up in your face, you can't get to see what you're going to be like when you get to heaven. So you get so consumed with, I need to find a mate, that you don't even realize that you're saying to God, I couldn't care less about seeing you face to face. Where are the redeemed saints that are excited to see God face to face because of all that he's done for him on this cross? You're excited. You can't wait for glory when you get to hang out with him. But because the church hasn't preached it well enough, you don't even know that you should be longing to see God face to face. So instead, you long for the thing that you want most instead of the thing that God wants most. This happens all the time. And we fail in this area because we haven't been taught well, and because the pull of the world is so good, and because of the lie that we tell ourselves. Number four, it proves that you lack self-control and that your desires trump God. Number five, your habits. Next one. Your habits, watch this one. Your habits for looking can become addictive and can lead to issues in future relationships. It can become, I'm not saying it always is, but it can become addictive. Let me show you how easy. If you're used to spending 2 to 3 hours on all these sites, looking at men and looking at women, you think you're only going to look at them when they got clothes on? You think that's the only kind you look? You see, you don't want me to tell the truth, do you? You don't want me to tell the truth, do you? Some of you don't even believe. Some of you don't even believe masturbation is wrong. You be like, what? It is? Who said so? Look at how y'all quiet in church today. You just can't say nothing. If I say nothing, they might think that's me. So let me just stay still. Frozen. Because if you say, preach, Pastor, somebody might say, ooh, you've been in consumed too long. You've been in the chair too long. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Next one. If you're not content in this season, you won't be content in the next. Everybody knows that. You always want something because you feel happiness, joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment comes from finding somebody. That's what you think. You're deceived. It will come and you will have momentary joy, momentary satisfaction, momentary fulfillment, but nothing lasts except Jesus, because that's what he created you with, a heart that longs for him. So you're being played and you don't even know it. Once married, you will squeeze your spouse for needs that they cannot provide. If all you're doing is focusing, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, I gotta find, then you have trained yourself with the habit. You've trained the muscles that I'm gonna get what I want no matter what. No wonder when you get married, you think you can squeeze your wife so she give you what you want. You can squeeze your husband so that he'll give you what they want. And it's because you've trained yourself to getting what you want no matter what. So then don't be surprised in the other season that the same thing shows up. I'm telling you, the enemy is gaining ground in this one, which is why we have to expose the lie. You're practicing selfishness. Life is about striving to meet your needs, is what you argue. Do you know how dangerous that is? Because the reason you're going to get frustrated in marriage is because marriage is all about meeting the other person's needs. And whenever you get tired of meeting the other person's needs, that's when you know you're walking in the flesh. Because that's why you have no excuse to not have a healthy marriage. Because if both of you are trying to outserve the other person, then you'll have help. That's what God says. So as a single person, you should master the art of serving everybody else. That's all marriage is. By the way, parenthetical thought. Do you know that there's no marriage in heaven? You know, you're not even going to know your spouse. You're not even going to know who they are. You're not even, all that stuff. You know, there is no, because you're going to be so consumed with Jesus, which is why he wants you to be now so consumed with him. So that in this stage and in the next, what you're consumed with is Jesus. Last one, number 9. You're less, let's stay right here for a moment. Number 9, you're less likely to find a mate on the front lines. You're less likely to, what do I mean by front lines? Well, the front lines of the gospel is where you believe you exist to win people to Christ, grow people up in Christ, and do everything you can for the glory of God. That's why you exist. That's the front line. You're battling for the kingdom of God. But if you don't find your mate on the front line, then don't be surprised when the things of God has no interest to them. No interest in them at all. See, when you're in these two seats, you've lowered yourself so much. Here's what you say. Well, if they just say spiritual, if they say atheist, okay, I just can't. I mean, since I'm in this chair right here, I just can't deal with that. I just can't. When you're in this chair, you don't care what the heck they do. You just want to get laid. But in this chair, what you care about is, well, let me see if they got it. So all they say is spiritual. And you'll be like, ooh, I got one. He says spiritual. You don't care if he worship the moon god. You don't care if they worship the cow god. You don't care if they worship whoever. They just said spiritual, and that caught your eyes. Do you see how we've lowered stuff? They have nothing to do with the front lines of the gospel, which is what you're created for. They have nothing to do with that. But you are so consumed with meeting your needs. Let's get some answers for this. Good grief. Seat number three. Seat number one is, I need one. Seat number two is, I want one. Seat number three. Say it with me, the. That's not everybody. Everybody together, the. Convinced. Turn your page over to the left side of the notes. Let's go through this real quick. Number one, here are the six tendencies that the enemy tees up that are all lies. He tees them up. And if you do nothing else, you're going to swim downstream with the rest of the culture. Here we go. Number one, singleness is a problem, and I must fix it. That's it. If you do nothing else, this is what you're going to now. I must fix this problem. I need to get out of this dark place. Number two, number two is marriage is a right. I have a right to be married. I demand to be married. You're going to make a stupid decision. If that's the way you're thinking. Number three, marriage is a requirement for a meaningful and a happy life. If I don't get married, I'll never be happy. If I don't have kids, I'll never be happy. Listen, the single life is proving to the world that your God is supreme and that your God is sufficient. When you walk around being single, what you're telling the world is, my God is enough for me. When you don't, and you live in these two chairs, you're telling the world, God is not enough. He's not enough. I don't love him like that. There's something more important than him. That's what you're saying. I know you don't like it, but it's true. Number four, this for the brothers. No, this for both of y'all. Number four, we need sex and romance. You cannot survive without it. Churches even preach this, by the way. That you can't, how is a brother supposed to survive without sex? Give me a break. Oh, you see all them people? I can't even take my eyes off of them. How is a brother supposed to survive? And so you just think, by the way, I'm going to get in trouble now. This is why we have to teach the younger generation to guard their eyes. Because if we don't, and every man struggles with this, all of us, men, just say I. You don't even want to say it, do you? You don't even want to admit the truth. A problem defined is a problem half solved. At least define it. All of us men, you know, I told you this earlier. I know because my daddy, 81, still struggles. So who are you? All of us. This is one you will struggle with, which is why you can't treat it lightly. That's why all of us, married and single, got to guard your heart and guard your doggone eyes. Because if you get used to somebody on the screen, preach, Pastor, if you get used to somebody on the screen, then you're going to treat the person like they the person on the screen. No emotions, no feelings, no nothing, just satisfy me. You don't want to say nothing up there, do you? You be like, I ain't saying nothing. You want to listen. But that's what we do. Number five. Marriage is idolized. We idolize marriage. We make it into a god. The enemy has masterfully done this. We've made it into a god. Watch this now. So even when somebody in, this is so important, even when somebody in your community try to tell you, I mean the people that you run with, everybody should have a group that they run with, and they said, whoa, hold on. Well, and then in your mind, you start saying, ooh, I better introduce them to my community. Listen, here's how the enemy is wicked. Then the enemy will start telling you, you're part of a cult. You're a grown person, a grown woman, a grown man. Why you have to ask anybody anything to see you part of a cult? They're just trying to control you. You're your own big person. Do your own thing. Listen to me. The reason the Bible don't want you in isolation is because he knows left to yourself, you will make the decision that's in your best interest, not in God's best interest. That's why you need people around you to support you and to fight for you. That's why we fight together for the glory of God. Come on now. When your group asks you some questions, they're not trying to hold you back. They're actually trying to help you make sure you make a wise decision. Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody all that. But at least ask the hard questions. Last one. Are we done? Oh, marriage matters in heaven. Go read those three passages. There ain't no such thing. It don't matter in heaven. It's just here on earth. So now turn to the back page. Let's see if we can find what God has to say. All of that was the problem. Let me show you what God now does say. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the convinced Christians, this is how they live. Don't minimize this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, here's what it says. Watch the text. This is huge. Watch the text. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. Single. However, each man, listen, has his own, say this word with me. No, real loud. Each man has his own from God. One in this manner and one in another. One in the area of being single and one in the area of being married. Listen. Here's what God says about being single. He says it's a gift. He is giving you a gift. By the way, how do you know if you have the gift of singleness? How do you know? If you woke up this morning single, you got the gift. Well, I don't know if I have the gift, Pastor. You got it today. So he says, God's giving you a gift. Now, here's the problem. You ever gotten a gift from somebody that you don't like? That's what most of you think. God, you give me a gift, but I really don't like the gift. I really don't want the gift. I want to get rid of this gift. And in the next service, I'm going to smash this because, listen, the church treats you like it's not a gift. And the church, because we never speak about it and keep it on the sidelines, we just want you to hurry up and get married. And we don't fan the gift that God has given to you. You get to be the poster child of Jesus. That just by your mere existence proves that he's sufficient for you, proves that he's supreme in your life, by your mere existence on a day-to-day basis. But you think Christians walking around excited about the gift God's given them and the unique opportunity they have in this season? No, they don't. We get consumed. And we get confused and curious, and we want to just explore, explore, explore. Maybe this is the one, maybe this is the one, maybe this is the one. And so the Bible calls the single life the prepared life. And yet still, if you look at Christian singles, they look like, woe is me. I'm going to be grown and shriveled here in a minute. Them eggs, boy, they crackling now. Them eggs crackling. They're getting too old. They're getting too old. That's why you walk around. Turning your back on the gift God's given you. I don't want that. Paul says it's a gift. Cherish the gift. Let me show you another way. Watch this. Don't miss this. Whenever I want to identify whether something is cultic or not, here's what all cults or all organizations that they do something, and here's what they do. They take, this is so huge, they take a couple verses in Scripture and they make it the biggest deal for their whole church. You can name all of them. They take a couple things. Ooh, if you don't have this, you just not spiritual. Now look what they just did. Two pages. Bible talk about all of it. Two pages. They left out all the rest and say it's all about this. Single people, can I show you what you've done? Can I show you what you've done? Marriage. All of the Bible. About three pages. You have spent your entire life ignoring all the rest of the Scriptures to focus on these three or four passages that have from Genesis to Revelation where he's talking about marriage. You've forgotten the gospel and you have prioritized marriage and you've made this your God and you have said, God, I don't care about your gospel. I don't care about your cross. I want what I want and I want it now. What you've done. He's given you a gift. You're looking at him and saying, I don't want that gift because I want to fix the problem called singleness so I can get married. Everybody tracking with me so far? I got a couple more. Who are you as a single Christian? Who are you? Someone that God's given a gift. Good, next verse, verse 8. Watch it. Watch verse 8. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good, say two times, that it is
good.
One more time, that it is
good.
For them if they remain even as I. What, for another verse? You can give me one more? You got one more? Or is that good for now? Ooh, but if they don't have self-control, then let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. So here's what Christians do. Christians say, God, I want to live over here. But I got to help you since you ain't doing it fast enough. So I'm going to come over here. And if you really don't do it fast enough, I'm going to come over here. Listen, 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 listen. And so you end up helping God out, not realizing. He's not saying marriage is not good. What he's saying is you don't have to create the environment and be consumed and make it into a God, which is what most of us have done. Don't do it. Number two. Second thing I think all Christian singles must do, they must live for another world. Say that with me. They must live for another what? Here we go. Let's look at verse 28. Verse 28. But if you marry, you have not sinned. Marriage is not wrong. He wants you to get married. If that's what, if he aligns it all well, then he wants to get married. And if the virgin marries, she's not sinned. She's not sinned. It's not a bad thing. Yet, here we go, every married couple, listen to me now. Yet such will have
trouble.
Come on, such will have
trouble
in this life. Singles, and I'm trying to spare you. So let me talk to married people real quick. This is just a precursor to what's coming next week and beyond. Hey. Why are you mad that you have trouble? He tell you you're going to have trouble. Why are you mad that he don't like what you like? Trouble. Why are you mad that he don't behave like you behave? Trouble. Why you mad that when you ready for sex, she ain't ready? Trouble. Why you get mad of all this stuff? It's called trouble. Deal with it. The reason you got mad, you didn't get mad for this, but the reason God's getting you mad is so that he can make you look like him. You all thought that it was all about you, what you wanted. God says, I'm going to get you married so somebody can look real close to you, see who you really are, and see if you're going to be selfless and serve them for the rest of your days. Amen. And when you don't do that, you're proving how immature you are. Because you exist in marriage not for what you can get, for what you can give. And every single time you have a problem in your marriage is because, listen, it's not because you want to serve, but it's because of what you want to get. But you don't want to deal with that. You want to live in la-la land and blame the other person every day of your life as if there's not going to be trouble. He says, trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, you got some trouble? Look at the other one and say, mm-hmm. You wanted to hurry up on a single, huh? Well, there go trouble for you. Here we go. By the way. But this I say, no, go back. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened so that from now on, those who have wives should live as though they have none. Next verse. And then he says, and those who weep as though they did not weep. And those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. And those who buy as though they did not possess. Next verse. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is, say it with me, passing away. You're living for the temporary too much and not for the eternal. God says you ought to be excited about running into heaven. You are not to be equally excited about heaven as you are about the world. And too many of us have flipped the script and we're excited about the temporary and not about the eternal. And he's saying, singles, don't buy the foolishness. Don't buy the game. Do you know why older people get so wise? Because they realize they're going to die. They make a shift. When you're young and you think ain't none can stop you, you want success. And that's you're living for success. More. And then the older you get, the closer you get to death, you switch and say, that ain't going to work because it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fulfill. It doesn't bring joy. So you switch to a life of significance. And significance says it's not about me anymore. It's about the next generation. It's about what can I do to populate heaven. Listen to me. The wise people live for significance earlier in life, not when they get cancer. Not when they find out they're going to die. They live for it now. Because God's saying, don't be deceived. The reason I saved you, the reason I turned your life around, the reason the gospel of Jesus Christ radically changed you is because he now gives you new taste bud that craves heaven more than you crave earth. Which means, if you don't, you ought to ask if you're saved. Number three, last one, then we're done. Come on, I got to get out of here. They live for another reason, and that reason is full devotion to God. Here's the text. Watch it. But I want you to be free from concern. The one who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the... Come on, everybody. The one who's unmarried is concerned about the things of the... How he may please the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Why aren't you excited about pleasing the Lord? Why aren't you passionate about pleasing the Lord? After all, hasn't he done enough for you to give all you can for the glory of God? Didn't he snatch you out of a pit somewhere and then put you on high ground and say, now go live for me? And yet still, you're still consumed with the things that he does not want you to be consumed about. He wants you to be consumed about him. You still consumed about finding. Yet you're confused. Well, God, I really love you, but I really want what I want. But I really love you, but I really want what I want. And God says, can you quit being double-minded? And can you just realize that I love you too much? And that the gift I've given you, if you ever use the gift I've given you, you will see that it's what you've always wanted because I built you for it. Let me show you how you communicate your life message. What does he want you to do as you're being fully devoted to God? There are four things that cause and gives you a life message. Put beside it, it's not in your notes, it's right in the white space. Acts 20:24, four parts to your life message. Do not miss this. If you're here and you're single, you've got to leave these four out. Number one, your testimony. You've got to know what Jesus Christ has saved you from and that he desires to use you as his mouthpiece. Number two, your life's lessons. What's the unique lesson that your story has to offer the world, and you have to be the champion of that lesson? Number three, your life's passions. What are the passions? There's some things that I walk by that don't bother me at all. And if you walk by the same thing, it would break your heart and you'll start crying. There's some things that breaks my heart, and I want to be God's mouthpiece for that. And you'd be like, I don't care one rip about that. That's because God uses your pain for his glory. That's why he wants you to communicate your life passion. Nobody else can do it like you can. And then the last one is the whole idea of the good news of the gospel. You are here, and the reason he left you is because he wants you to help him populate heaven. So he wants you to tell everybody what forgiveness feels like. Yet still, we're wasting it away, being concerned about things that should not take up that much of our time. So ladies and gentlemen, here's how I want to close today. I want to remind you that God's given you a gift if you're here and you're single, and he wants you to use it for his glory and for his honor. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a gift. Ladies and gentlemen, this life is passing away. He wants you to be consumed with seeing him face to face, not with you finding something for you. And then lastly, he says, hey man, listen, I want you to be fully devoted to God. Don't you think the enemy don't want you to be fully devoted to God? Don't you think the enemy wants you to be so consumed with everything else so that you don't have any time for God? Don't you think that's what he wants? He's teeing it up, and we're biting it, and we're eating it, and we're getting distracted, and we're getting brokenhearted, and we're getting shattered. All because we don't see it as a gift that he wants us to run hard with and be fully devoted to him. Father, I pray that you'll help this body of believers start a revival where the single life is the preferred life. Start a revival where we say we're done being shackled by this insatiable desire to find a mate. And we start finding the freedom and the gift that you've given us. God, will you help us, help every couple to never let come out of their mouth when you get married. Will never let come out of your mouth when you're going to have kids. But instead, they'll say, are you really excited about seeing God face to face? Are you excited about how God wants to work his gospel in and then through your life? Will you align our hearts with yours? Will you help us to ask and beg your forgiveness so that we can receive and cherish the gift you have given to us. Lead this body of believers, God, please. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Come on, give him a round of applause. Come on.